And welcome to today's session of Business at 2 here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. On today's session, we start off with our first item in terms of the $1.5 billion investment coming through of way in investors wanted to buy into Namibia's various bonds. For that, my colleague Herta had a conversation with an Eagle FM's resident economic analyst, as well as also writer, that being Inomenwa Erastus. Let's have a listen to this.
And received 64 bids worth 1.5 billion from investors willing to lend money for 11 months, according to the Bank of Namibia's auction invite released on 12 August. The government only wanted 550 million Namibian dollars during Thursday's auction through a 365-day T-bills. On the line with me is our own economist Erastus Nginomwena. Good afternoon, Erastus. How are you?
Yes, good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Yes, Erastus, can you just take our listeners through what does this really mean and what is it all about?
Okay, like the government or the state or the treasurer or the Minister of Finance, when they have announced their 2022-23 financial year budget, yeah, they've indicated like, yeah, they have a budget deficit of around, we can say between 8 to 15. Billion, because now the number is just too sketchy. Mm-hmm. Every time it increases, so it's between 8 to 15. We can say between 8 to 15 billion there. So that means that the expenditure that they plan or the money that they plan to allocate it to various ministries and government agencies, there was no enough money. They just say, yes, we're going to give you 20 million, but when it comes to the revenue that they collected, so there was that deficit. The revenue was lower compared to the expenditures. So now, to fulfill those promises, those budgetary promises, government now borrow through the Bank of Namibia to meet those revenue deficit. Now, in one of the auctions that was held last week, government wanted around 1.2 million through only two treasury bills. The treasury bills are borrowing instruments that the Bank of Namibia use either for four months, 6 months, or 9 months, or 11 months. So meaning that you give your money to the government for 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, or 11 months, then they give it to you after those months. Now, in the 18, they wanted to borrow now 1.2 million. But the most interesting thing about this is that the government, through one treasury bill, government, which was a 364-day, which is like 11 months, meaning government wanted to borrow 550 million for 11 months from individuals. But now in this particular case, for this one particular treasury bill, government received 1.5 billion from investors that are willing to give it to them. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing is to look at the difference between the government only wanted 550 million through this treasury bill, but if the market or the investors came through to say we have more. So that is the main interesting part. And what this means is that as much as we say there is no money in the economy, this auction highlights there is so much money in our economy that is looking for a place. And that is now the most important thing, that yes, government, regardless of no matter how much government borrow almost every week, the market is always coming through so much money. So now the question that we have, or the most interesting thing, is that why is this money not going to other sectors? Why is it only going to government? And is government now taking the money away from the private sector? So the whole story or the whole concept is to showcase that the economy has so much saving or so much money, either from within or is even able to attract it from outside, but that money is only going to government bonds. So that is now the whole concept. If you look at the difference, almost 1 billion came just for one treasury bill. So that is the big deal about it. And in other words, we are saying either government is crowding out of the private sector, meaning that government is taking more money, which the private sector could have borrowed to fund their business. Mm-hmm. It could be that case. Or the market has so much money, but it just has no place where to go, no investment place where to go so it can grow. So that is what this single auction is literally telling us, that there is so much money in the market, and either from within our own saving or some of it is being attracted from outside. But the only concern now is that why is this money not going to the private sector? We have SMEs, we have small enterprises, we have others that are looking for money, but that money is unable to go there. But whenever government is borrowing, even for a single treasury bill, so much money is coming to them. So that is now the bigger question, or the cloud which you have in our economy, money flooding to the government side of things. But when you come to the private sector, there is somehow either a barrier or a gate to just preventing money to flow there, or something need to be fixed to enable money to flow to the private sector also. Yeah.
All right, Gabriel. Do you think our country is in the right state of, you know, to continue borrowing money like that?
Yeah, that is now the situation, because we are seeing that almost every week, the government is borrowing through the Bank of Namibia. But now, if you match our borrowing and our expenditure, and you match it with the economic activity or the progress of the economy, you will have this type of question like, okay, then why are we borrowing? Where is the money going? Yes, things might not materialize. The investment might not materialize that are done today to materialize tomorrow. But they've been borrowing since January. We're supposed to see some type of changes or some type of moves happening. So there are those questions that are hanging around to ask that, okay, we keep borrowing, but in terms of economic activity, in terms of progress, in terms of upliftment and other things are a bit moving slower. So the issue is here that if we keep borrowing and we are not seeing the changes in the economy, if the people that we are borrowing or the ministry or the institution that we are borrowing and give money to are not utilizing or investing that money to grow the economy, then there is the problem. So that is just where the case is. At this point where we are now, I can say our economic state of affairs is not are stable enough to keep supporting the rate at what we are borrowing. That is the only concern. Unless maybe it's going really, really to improve and at least to grow by 3% or by 4%. If it does not grow by more than that, by more than 2%, government is really going to start to struggle to repay this debt. And they are already borrowing to pay that debt, which is already a bad signal. But again, if they do not channel this money to institutions or to ministries that are having a mandate to actually stimulate economic activity, then in the long run, or even in the medium term, we are going to have a problem of repaying loan. We are going to borrow to repay loan. So that is just where the issue is. And yes, our state of economy is not at the point where we need to keep borrowing at the rate that we are borrowing. So something needs to be done. Alternatives need to be found, whether the Shimo or the Minister of Finance or the government need to decide how else can we do things beyond borrowing. There are certain institutions that are not actually doing well. What can we do? How can we revamp them? How can we perhaps do something to reduce our expenditures and to make sure that every dollar that we spend translate into $2, into $3, because now we are like literally throwing money in a ditch. It doesn't grow back, and that is bad investment. Yeah.
Now, in terms of that contribution, that discussion there with Eagle FM's resident economic analyst, we hear a little bit more in depth in terms of the various moves as well as also developments. Into the second of our discussion points, the recently launched cleanup campaign to take place here in the capital of Windhoek for the next 3 months saw the involvement of the Environmental Investment Fund as well as also other stakeholders, including the major stakeholder, that being the city of Windhoek, indicating a greener drive and a cleaner drive in terms of a clean city and also a cleanup campaign to ensure that the image is maintained at an optimum level. Now, on the line, we have the Environmental Investment Fund's spokesperson, Mr. Lord Ndamanomata, to share with us what a cleanup campaign actually aims to provide and also what it has to communicate to those involved and also the greater public.
That's and firstly to ensuring environmental stability and ensuring health and ensuring that the environment is also clean and also ensuring that, you know, people are living in harmony with nature. So definitely an intervention of this nature to the cleaning campaign is definitely something that relates to our mandate. And after all, a healthy environment obviously takes care of its citizens. So hence, it's very crucial and very important to us to form part of this partnership with the city of Windhoek, MTC, as well as Amido. So hence, it's a very, very important exercise. And I think this exercise also draws to a concept that is familiar, that is Rwanda, where obviously you know that Rwanda has been the cleanest city right now in Africa. It's declared by the UN Habitat Africa Office. So obviously there's a concept what they call Umganda. So it means it's about trying to encourage the citizens of the town of the capital city of Rwanda, Kigali, to clean every last Saturday of every month, you know, and obviously let them be at the place where they are, and obviously being, you know, being the cleanest city. So I think that is something that we'd also want to attain through this concept, and also to retain that status quo for the city of Windhoek, which we have held in the past before.
And then also, Lot, if we had to look at this is the first kickoff in terms of, we all know that Windhoek is the biggest metropolitan area. In terms of a broader sense, now talking about the whole country, do you believe that the rest of the country needs to get into the same groove or into the same motion of cleanup campaigns? Or is it still a function or process that is in the process of being rolled out?
Thank you very much again for the question. I think if you remember well, in terms of context, providing some context is that remember the president had launched this cleaning campaign some time back. Obviously, the idea is obviously to have it on an early basis. So, and I think that is a good concept. I can also be able to share with you that the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, with other stakeholders, which includes the Environmental Investment Fund, is also embarking on a nationwide campaign, cleanup campaign that will be held in various towns. So it's not just a once-off, it's a thing that obviously done by multi-sectoral support. Maybe the biggest one might be happening in Windhoek, but there's still other ones that are happening across the country that obviously is being done with other stakeholders. So cleanup campaign should not only be a once-off, it should be a continuous process. And as I indicated earlier, I think for us what would really be ideal is that try and encourage inhabitants of various cities, not just Windhoek, to be able to do that. Perhaps maybe like the same conference being done in Kigali, maybe once a month that they all go to come together, you know. Because you know, the moment you take ownership of your waste and your waste that you're producing becomes your responsibility, it means you are contributing to things such as, you know, reforestation, you know, of our forests that we are losing. Might not be moving around areas like Commerce or Windhoek, but you know, once you do take those kind of action to be good, and obviously this cleanup campaign also has an aspect of where we are trying to encourage people to exercise a concept of tree planting, which is very, very good, because if you tree planting, it means so you're able to have more oxygen, more available, able to move in harmony with nature. So this is a concept that I think that we want to be able to engage citizens to, and not only those like Windhoek, but also should also go forward. And the cleanup campaign doesn't only necessarily have to come from the partners that are managing this project, but also individual entities who are living in those different specific towns where they are. They can also be able to initiate platforms of this nature.
Exactly. A lot, just heading into a last section of our discussion, if we had to look at the broader concern which has now come about for the last 6 years, 7 years, that being the climate change challenge, does the EIF believe that cleanup campaigns are one of the smaller sort of like starting blocks for us to be climate conscious and also environmentally friendly? Or is it two different discussions that we actually have to sort of like pursue parallel to each other?
Well, I think it's something that we cannot separate. They are parallel to each other. And definitely, I think one of these is obviously not the only way to address the issue of climate change. For instance, if we start talking about the correction of saying regulating the use of plastic bags, not possibly maybe being able to ban them completely. So they are, you know, non-biodegradable plastic. So for instance, has been banned in Kenya, has been banned in Rwanda. But obviously, there are elements whereby, for instance, plastic can still be used in this country. It's very much needed. So I think it's just a behavior, for instance, that needs to be regulated. And it's also an industry, for instance, which create jobs. So there need to be a regulation of that nature, for instance, when it comes to plastic. But we do agree that this is just one of the ways in which you can be able to address the issue of climate change. But at least having a healthy environment, that means we are all better off, you know, for instance, meaning that, you know, if the environment is clean, we are all able to coexist and we are able to ensure that the environment is clean. You are protecting the flora and the fauna that we have. Mm. And, you know, it contributes to just, reforestation. And, you know, basically, that what this project also entails is about creating an opportunity to also train our local communities, be it in rural areas, be it in urban areas, so that why it matters to have the environment clean, why it's important. And also to encourage possibly the concept of waste management in the sense that, you know, recycling waste, that all opportunities and businesses can also exist in recycling waste. We've seen that many of our landfills, for instance, waste is not properly segregated. So, but if that also can also present an opportunity to say, I am interested in waste management, I'm interested in making items from recyclable materials. Mm. So this also presents an opportunity that, you know, we create linkages that, you know, there is a waste that is being collected, and then obviously if you are an entrepreneur in terms of that sector, it's also fine. Maybe I can be able to buy that waste in some from that specific landfill and be able to create opportunities and be able to produce other recyclable materials from that. So it is a multifaceted approach. It's not only definitely concentrated on one area, but I think it requires definitely for those that are also entrepreneurship to see an opportunity how they can be able to benefit from this waste that can be collected right now during these campaigns and also maybe in the near future. And I really hope that we can really ensure that we encourage all the various local authorities, all the various village councils and et cetera, and all those, and all the various entities to be able to continuously engage in the process of, collecting waste. And just ensuring that we are living in peace with nature, because we are the ones who are causing problems, because we are producing plastic. We are defying the environment and not want to look after it. So I think it's our responsibility to ensure that we really take responsibility of our own waste and be responsible and keep our city clean. And I know we all benefit. Even our animals, if your environment is clean, if you are restoring your forest, that means you are also growing the tourism sector.
Mm.
And we know tourism sector is one of the biggest contributors to GDP in this country.
Exactly. Lot, in terms of just taking a look at, managing, because this all speaks to managing the very scarce resource that we all have as citizens of this country. Just in a lasting sort of like message that you can share with the public in terms of how they need to view involvement in cleanup campaigns, as well as also involvement in terms of looking at the broader conservation of the natural environment. What would you like to share with the broader public before I let you go?
Well, I think really I just want to commend the Namibian public in general for definitely always trying to do the best they can be able to do. I know, issues of climate change require extreme amount of resources.
Mm-hmm.
But, we just want to also just praise Namibians for the hard work that they've done in previous cleanup campaigns as well. We also want to thank the various stakeholders that are also involved in the process of ensuring that our environment continues to be clean.
Mm.
We also want to thank also institutions such as the various community-based natural resource management communities, conservancies, community forests, who are doing wonderful work in engaging in climate-smart agriculture that allows us, to make use of water in a sparing manner. The various stakeholders that are involved in the rehabilitation of boreholes to supply water to our people. And, I think what is important as I conclude is that keeping Namibia clean and making sure that we're living in harmony with nature is our collective responsibility. It's not only the responsibility of the Environmental Investment Fund or other partners that are involved in this project, but it is our responsibility as a collective to ensure that we protect this environment, we protect our country's resources, so that the resources that we have continue to benefit the future generation, even we are no longer here.
Exactly. Lot, on that note, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners. And once again, thank you for sharing about the cleanup campaign.
Now, coming back from that extensive discussion with regards to the importance of cleanup campaigns, we stretch into our next discussion, wherein the GIPF, or the Government Institutional Pension Fund organization, will be conducting a early retirement workshop during the period of the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair and the facilitated staff that will be present there. For that, let's have a listen to this.
Now, the Government Institute's Pension Fund will be holding a pre-retirement workshop that is in Ongwediva. We do have the Manager of Marketing from GIPF, that is Amos Kambonde, who is on the line. Good afternoon. How are you?
How are you?
If you can just take us through what is this pre-retirement workshop all about, and why has GIPF decided to give this training, and who does it cater for?
Oh, okay. As you alluded from the beginning, my name is Amos Kambode, and I work for GIPF. Yes, I will be GIPF will be Tongwediva Trade Fair, and then the main thing there is that we are going to have what we call a pre-retirement workshop. Pre-retirement workshops are aimed at giving information to our members, and these members are the people that are about to go on retirement. Therefore, the people that we are targeting are people from the age of 53 to 59. Those are the people that will be soon going on retirement. What we do is we want to prepare our members. When they go on retirement, they know what they are going to do. Therefore, what we are going to do is basically just going to give them more information on financial planning. We're going to give them retirement planning advice on those ones. We have sourced experts in different fields. So those are the people that are going to give information. And this pre-retirement workshop is going to take place on the 29th and the 30th of August, as mentioned, and this will be taking place at Ongwediva Trade Fair.
In terms of this workshop, besides getting the training in regards to pre-retirement what else are we looking at when it comes to retirement policies in this regard?
Let me say, we are not only going to do the training, but there are also other things. We are going to have a stand at Ongwediva in the Queen's Hall, where we are going to offer our normal standard services. That's basically, people can go to our stand and then get their benefit statement printed, or people can follow up on their claims. Anything that we do at our offices, that's basically what you're going to offer at Ongwediva. But the pre-retirement workshops is an extra service that we're going to give to our members. All what we are saying is that we're calling all our members that are in the north, in the four regions, if they can make it to Ongwediva, special for the 29th and the 30th, so that they can listen to information regarding pre-retirement.
Yes, there's this in the session where regarding the workshop, the activities, various activities in there. One states that it's a retirement planning. What is a retirement planning?
Okay, basically, when you talk about retirement planning, we'll have somebody talking about taking people through what they can do. You know, when people get, when they retire, they get a lump sum. It's basically we are taking them on what to do, or how should they go about investing their money, or how should they look after their money. That's basically what you're going to talk about to look at. And also maybe just to add, part of the pre-retirement workshop, we're also going to look at the CMAS medical aid benefit. That's basically, once you retire with the fund, you still continue with your medical aid. Therefore, we have colleagues from Ministry of Finance, CMAS division, that are going to talk to this effect.
And in the further development in terms of the entrepreneurial sense, a recent Old Mutual Pitch Night event held in Oshakati, this is just for this past weekend, resulted in three lucky entrepreneurs scoring big and also potentially seeing their dreams come true with regards to entrepreneurial ventures that they are endeavoring in. Let's have a listen to this. Three entrepreneurs from Oshakati won their share of 85,000 Namibian dollars and also showcased their determination and drive, and also what it looks like for entrepreneurs in the northern part of the country. Now, this was part of Old Mutual's seed project known as the Old Mutual Sustainable Economic and Empowerment Drive. And this is as the final award ceremony and also the pitch night took place in last week. Now, this is an initiative in the northern town of Oshakati that created some memorable moments regarding these last winners. Now, Old Mutual Namibia, alongside Launch Namibia, the Financial Literacy Initiative, and the United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, Accelerator Lab, completed the third and final edition of the OM Seed Initiative last week on 18 August. And this is where the top 20 Oshakati entrepreneurs taking the stage to pitch their ideas to a panel of three judges. During the awards ceremony, Jacopina Nangula of Oshana Ceramics Manufacturing CC walked away with the first prize of 50,000 Namibian dollars. Umwene Tupopila Haitula of Tupo Nam Food CC came in second place and won 25,000 Namibian dollars. And Abner Thomas of Ndaka Mushrooms and Processing came in third place and won and walked away with 10,000 Namibian dollars. We have a listen to the three winners from this event.
I will thank you for OMCA for provide us 15,000 Namibian dollars. We are able to going to buy our machine that we need to produce more product at our ceramic product in order to promote our business at, here at the Rokar environment. And I will encourage the youth to work harder in order to create their job and the job opportunity for community people also.
Good evening. My name is Abner Thomas. I'm the founder of Ndaka Mushrooms and Processing in Onipa. I'm grateful to be the third winner for 10,000 tonight. This means a lot to me and my business, as it's going to be part of the marketing and growing my business to another level. And my message to other entrepreneurs is that they should start working on their dreams. They shouldn't wait for the perfect time. They should just start and believe in what they are doing. Thank you very much.
My name is Omwene Tupopila Haitula, founder of Tupo Nam Food, and I won a prize, second prize today at the OMC All Mutual. And today, guys, I'm really happy. I don't know what to say, but this prize means a lot to me. It's going to help me build my new chicken house and expand. So to the other entrepreneurs, please guys, keep shooting your shots. I know you applied and you didn't make it, but that doesn't mean you should stop. Keep shooting, and one day you will also be here, and then you win a prize. Thank you.
And ending off today's session with some economic indicators, taking a look at some of the biggest movers, as well as also the latest moves in terms of commodity pricing and also currency exchanges. Now, starting off with the Namibia Stock Exchange overall and local levels, the last session ended at minus 0.33% in terms of its major moves, while the NSX local grew by a slight 0.08 positive rate. This takes us in to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange All Share in terms of its news bits, where the All Share ended down at minus 0.75% for its last trading session, while the JSE Top 40 was lower at 0.78%. Now, the industrials sector was down by minus 1.18%, while financials were down by 0.63%. Resources were lower at minus 0.16%, and gold miners had moved lower to a minus 0.37% in terms of the last day's trading. For the global overview, in terms of taking a look at some of the major bursts and their major moves, as well as also some of their major indications, wherein the Shanghai Composite had gained 0.18%, the Hang Seng had fallen by 0.49%, and the Nikkei 225 had fallen by minus 1.08%. The biggest between the three big Asian stock exchanges. With the previous session, wherein $57 billion had been traded on the Shanghai Composite and $9.27 billion had been traded on the Nikkei 225, this also saw in the American front, where the Dow Jones had fallen by minus 1.91%. The Nasdaq fell by minus 2.55%, and the S&P 500 lost minus 2.14% in its day's trading. The Stocks 600, heading into the European zone, was down by a minus 0.96%, almost fulfilling a complete 1%, while the German DAX was down by minus 2.32%, and the French CAC 40 was lower by a minus 1.80%. The FTSE 100 in the UK zone concluded its session down by minus 0.22%, and a total of £2.4 billion was traded in that earlier session. Ending off with some of the commodity pricing and some of the commodity latest commodity news, and also currency pricing and latest exchanges.
We start off with spot gold, which saw a positive increase with a 0.11% change, while platinum also emulated the same scenario as gold with 0.10. However, palladium was the biggest mover with a 1.20% move. Silver was down by minus 0.23%, while uranium maintained its 0% move for the second day running. On Brent crude, the 0.7% had been gained on the Brent crude pricing, pushing it up to $97.16 per barrel, while iron ore maintained a minus 1.06% move in terms of its negative moves there in its previous trading session, while copper stood at minus 0.35%. Natural gas gained on 2.17% for its trading session. For currencies, the US dollar towards the Namibian dollar will get you 16.98, with the Namibian dollar gaining on the United States dollar with a minus 0.10% percentage point down for the US dollar. The same also happened with the euro, which now stands at 16.87 for it since the last session, also emulating the similar percentage move as the US dollar. The British pound sterling will see you getting 19.98, a whole 0.11% down from the previous day's session, which wherein the British pound stood at a solid 20 Namibian dollars for £1. The euro versus the USD saw the USD gain on the euro, with the euro losing by a minus 0.03%. The British pound versus the USD saw the British pound gain over the United States dollar with a 0.02% gain. The same also for the Australian dollar opposite the United States dollar, with one Australian dollar getting you 68 US cents, with the Australian dollar writing the biggest percentage move between the major currencies at 0.25% in its gains. This brings you up to the end of today's economic indicator session and also the Business at 2 segment here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.